From now through Easter, we are following Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Luke, learning alongside our children and youth in the church school. Last week, we heard about Jesus healing the servant of a Roman military officer and raising a widow's son from the dead. Today, we hear Jesus answering some questions about his identity. It's a slightly longer reading, so I encourage you to settle in and get comfortable. We will hear from the Common English Bible for the first half and from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message, for the second half. So now let us open our ears, our minds, our imaginations, and our hearts as we listen across time and space to join this ancient conversation. John the Baptist's disciples informed John about all the things Jesus was doing. John called two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord. They were to ask him, "Are you the one who is coming? Or should we look for someone else?" When they reached Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you. He asks, 'Are you the one who is coming, or should we look for someone else?'" Right then, Jesus healed many of their diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and he gave sight to a number of blind people. Then he replied to John's disciples, "Go, report to John what you've seen and heard. Those who are crippled now walk. Those who are blind are able to see. People with skin diseases are cleansed. Those who are deaf now hear. Those who are dead are raised up. And good news is preached to the poor. Happy is anyone who doesn't stumble along the way because of me." After John's messengers left to make their report, Jesus said more about John to the crowd of people. "What did you expect when you went out to see him in the wild? A weekend camper? Hardly. What then, a sheik in silk pajamas? Not in the wilderness, not by a long shot. What then, a messenger from God?" That's right, a messenger. Probably the greatest messenger you'll ever hear. He is the messenger that the prophet Malachi announced when he wrote, "I am sending my messenger on ahead of you to make the road smooth for you." John continued, "Let me lay it out." Excuse me, Jesus continued, "Let me lay it out for you as plainly as I can. No one in history surpasses John the Baptizer, but in the kingdom he prepared for you, the lowliest person is ahead of him. The ordinary and the disreputable people who heard John by being baptized by him into the kingdom are the clearest evidence. The Pharisees and the religious officials would have nothing to do with such a baptism, wouldn't think of giving up their place in line to their inferiors. How can I account for the people of this generation? They're like spoiled children complaining to their parents. We wanted to skip rope, and you were always too tired. We wanted to talk, but you were always too busy. John the Baptizer came fasting, and you called him crazy. The Son of Man came feasting, and you called him a boozer. Opinion polls don't count for much, do they? The proof of the pudding is in the eating." For the good news of Jesus Christ, thanks be to God.
Would you pray again with me, please? God, we thank you for the ministry of Jesus. and what it teaches us still today. I give thanks for crazy preachers like John the Baptist out in the wild, and for healing energy that flows through a masterful teacher. So here in this place, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts may be truly acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. And let the people say, amen. Amen. Choir, I don't know if you heard it. Susan and I both invite you to come down. If you want to stay up here, that's cool. But if you want to come on down, feel free. Whenever, come down or stay up there, whichever. Thank you to all of you who moved down here, especially if you're new with us today and it takes a little social courage to come up here and sit down here. Any of you ever worship with us in summertime worship downstairs? You know, yes, Elizabeth does. You know how it feels down there. And one of the things I'm hoping for constantly is that we can bring some of that intimacy and feel into this space. Thank you all for coming down. Patty's been working with us on that. We've been meeting with architects in this space, and you down here makes that feel a little bit more like that. So thank you. Glad you all are here today. I don't know how this sermon is going to go, so I'm going to need you to help me with it. Lately, I have been the way I was trained to preach was to get up in the pulpit without any notes at all, with only the scripture. When I first started out preaching, I did that a lot. And then other things filled my head, like church budgets and aging buildings and Rolodexes of different churches, and so I had to have notes. And I've done that a lot. And I sort of preach varying degrees of that. The thing is, the sermon's always in my head all week long, as it is with Amy or Anna or any other preacher. And lately what I've done is I've just sat down to pull it together in the last hour or hour and a half before worship, and some of you have said those have been the best sermons you've heard. Well, today I shoveled snow instead of doing that, along with Amy and also Zach, our offering invitation guy who made sure it was all salted so you all could get in here today. So the last sermon I gave a few weeks ago, Carolyn, who's not here today, I started it out Socratic, so that you all participated. And Carolyn came up and said, that's your best when you're Socratic. So I'm going to do that today. We're going to be Socratic, okay? So did anyone, just what Kathy just read just now, I'm curious about any questions that brought up for you, or like, what'd you make of that passage? Yes, Weja. Now, Weja had some advanced planning because I asked the Bible study to give me notes on this passage, and they did, and Weja gave the first note. So Weja, go ahead. Why did I choose these translations? So we normally do the Common English Bible. It's a very inclusive version that's fairly new. I don't know a lot of the history. But the second half of this pericope, that's the passage, you know that because you're in seminary, we read it in worship meetings several times. We're like, this is just too confusing for us to figure out. Let's turn to Eugene Peterson. So Eugene Peterson found that a lot of his congregation was not listening to the scripture. And he loved literature. And he was trying to help his congregation become more literate. So he would leave some of his favorite books at the back of the sanctuary for people just to take. And he started translating the Bible every week, paraphrasing it into words that he thought they could get the essence of it. And he eventually paraphrased the entire Bible. And I thought, you know, old Eugene, who's not with us anymore here on this earthly life, he would do a great job with that. And so it's not exactly to the Greek, but when he's talking about John the Baptist, did you go out to see someone who's a weekend camper? No. Did you go to see a chic in silk pajamas? No. What you heard was a messenger, just like the messenger Malachi. So I don't know if I hear it better that way. Does that answer your question? Yeah. But other thoughts about this passage or questions about it? Yes, Mary.
I know it sounds like a small thing, but it must have taken him a long time to heal all those people. So they asked him a question, and then he spent all that time healing people. It must have taken a couple of hours, and then he answered.
Right.
Right?
She said, Mary's saying, it must have taken Jesus a long time to heal all those people, and there he has an answer. This is what's happened, right? Yeah. Yeah, the Gospels don't help us very much with technical 21st century logistics that we like to think about timing. That's right. Yes, Amy.
People seem so tired and so ready to just follow someone.
The people seem, Amy knows where I'm headed. The people seem so tired and so ready just to follow someone, right? As Kathy read that, I was just thinking, I love that question. Are you the one who's to come? Or are we to wait for someone else? It's so blunt. It's a very Northeast United States question. Are you the one who's supposed to? It was interesting in this nice Pacific Northwest woman's voice to hear it, because it's to me, it's a blunt question. Are you the one we're waiting for, or are you wasting our time?
Right.
Right. What does Jesus say?
Look at what you see.
Look at what you see. As Eugene paraphrases it, the proof is in the eating. They thought John the Baptist was crazy because he was out there with wild fur and eating locusts and wild honey, and they thought he was crazy, and he was a little crazy, but he was good kind of crazy because he was so radical. And then they give Jesus a hard time because he's doing things like eating and dining and picking crops on the Sabbath, and they call him a boozer, Eugene does. And so who is the one that we're to follow? And Jesus says the proof is in what we're doing. And what does he say? He says, get it right, he's quoting a lot from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah here, so there's a precedent. Go report to John what you have seen and heard. Those who are blind are able to see. Those who are crippled now walk. People with skin diseases are cleansed. Those who are deaf now hear. Those who are dead are raised up. And good news is preached to the poor. Anybody read the blog this week? Thank you, David. Leanne, thank you. Mark, thank you. So I'm just going to share with you what I said. Are you the one who is coming, or should we look for someone else? It's the heart of this passage. And it's really, as Amy alluded, not so different 2,000 years later. A lot of people in our midst right now are asking, what is going on? Anybody feel that way? How are we to respond? What's the appropriate resistance? When, how, what, where, who can we follow? And I opine what's going on is that we've elected a president determined to rule like an autocrat, like a really bad modern-day CEO, and not a public servant. And he told us all this when he campaigned. And this new regime has come in with shock and awe and sheer determination to tear down anything they don't like. As one of my colleagues said this week, it's the use of power for power's sake. I think I heard Musk said something in the Oval Office about, you know, we're going to be caring in this. Yeah, right. We see all sorts of people being squeezed out of their funds. Anybody here know some of those people squeezed out by USAID getting shrunk up? You realize that the USAID foreign budget is 1/10 of Elon Musk's wealth? We call that a tithe in the Christian church, 1/10 of your income. It's destabilizing, this sheer and this shock and awe. It's disorienting. It's panic-inducing, and it's meant to be all those things. And how does Jesus respond when they come to him? Are you the one we're supposed to follow? Go report what you've heard. Blind people are seeing. Deaf people are hearing. The dead are being raised. We're making all this happen. And a lot of these programs that are being cut, that's what they're all about, is making this world a better place in the ways that Jesus told us to. One of the ways that God measures our faith is our commitment to serving others. And that's what Jesus is talking about and quoting the prophets. And so when we come here, I believe, as you've heard me say before, that we are recentering ourselves in these fundamentals of our faith, recommitting ourselves to the work of the gospel, the work of the prophets, which can often mean the work of resistance. John the Baptist would be leading us in a protest, in a march, in some very radical preaching. Now, like a lot of people, I'm not sure what we're supposed to be doing next. I think a lot of us are waiting to see what we should be doing next. But as I've said to you in the last sermon, I believe that our faith matters more now than it has ever mattered, and how we're going to live into it. I'm curious, I was thinking of having an after-worship conversation about people who maybe are a little freaked out by what's going on right now, and just where you're at with that. And if anyone feels comfortable just saying, here's what's bothering me the most, or here's what's worrying me the most, feel free to say it now. I'd be interested just to hear where we're all at.
Where to start?
Yes, Merle. Merle's saying that it seems like it's only about money. It's not about what people need or what people feel.
Yeah, and it's just capitalism going for the sake of capitalism.
Capitalism going for the sake of capitalism. Do you have someone else? Yes, Anna.
Children are going to die without access to vaccines or food or clean drinking water.
Children are going to die without access to vaccines or food or clean drinking water, yeah. Mike.
Where's the
rule of law? Right. Yes, David.
I want Elon Musk to go visit the shelter.
I want Elon Musk to go visit the shelter. Yes, Vanessa.
Divisions that are being created
So Vanessa's concern is about the divisions that are being created and expanded, I would say, between white, male, aristocracy, and people of color, marginalized people, people who are poor. Yep. Yes, DJ.
I'm wondering if I'm ever going to feel safe again.
DJ, who gave a beautiful offering invitation last week, is saying, I'm wondering if I'm ever going to feel safe again. Yeah, Peter. That fear has become a commodity that is used against us. Do we have something? It'll come back to you. Yes. Someone over there? Yes, Patty.
I feel like it's everywhere.
You feel like it's everywhere.
I turn one place, and oh, that's not working. I turn to a nursing home, the staff can't come in. I turn to, I can go through every segment of my life, and I
feel every segment of my life. And I can feel it different places. Patty and I had a conversation about this week. Patty, can I say you work with advocacy for older folks? So seeing it being squeezed out there.
Where are the checks and balances that are supposed to be protecting us from this? And how is it falling apart so quickly? And, I just don't understand.
Where are the checks and balances that are supposed to be keeping this from happening? And where has it gone? And what's going on? Yep, Amy. Scared that we'll look behind us and we'll see the point of no return behind us 50 feet back. Okay. So I'll take a deep breath. I was in a worship service yesterday with a woman in her 90s who said to me, I'm worried about what's happening to the world. And I said, Polly, what was the world like when you were a child? She said, the Great Depression. And I said, then what? And I helped her out. I said, it was the dark hand of fascism reaching across Western culture. The human race has been here before, and I do believe it's going to get worse in this country before it gets better. But it is people of faith, people of resistance, people of hope who have always made a difference. People who believed we could get through it by the very best in our humanity. And I believe that's what Jesus Christ is about, in saying that we are to be people of healing. We are to be people of helping. We are to be people of including others. And regardless of what happens out there, and the media will do a great job continually of selling us on the bad news, tickling our anxieties, it is important for us to be people of both memory of what has happened before and of hope that we can move forward. I believe that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ requires of us. And I believe it is in settings like this where we get together and we hold one another to the very best values of who we are and who Jesus calls us to be, that we will, in holding together, go forward. As you can tell, I don't want to sugarcoat any of what is going on. As I said 3 weeks ago, I'm thinking a lot about Dietrich Bonhoeffer 80 years ago and what was required of him. I've said in some of my clergy circles, I'm not sure what kind of courage is going to be required of me. And I'm asking God to help me to stand up to that. The thing is, I don't think any of us have to go beyond what we're capable of. God will show us what we're capable of. But it is important that we center ourselves in the love, the promise, and the hope that God gives us through the ministry of Jesus Christ.